podcast?
Movie, movie, podcast.
Are you getting this?
I mean, hey, you know what they say, que sole, sole.
Welcome to the Movie, Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 162. I am your host, Tiggs, with a tepid introduction, honestly, because of that tepid joke that Peter gave. Who's here with me, other than Peter, who does not get an introduction? Is Russ here?
He's here, but he did not think of a clever way to say that he's here.
What? Is that knocking? Is that Alex at the door?
Let me in now.
Hey, we've got Alex, we've got Russ, we've got Peter. Peter, you can say hi.
I'm about to make a name for myself here.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one. All right. And it is August. We've been away for just a little over 2 months, and we saw, I don't know, 30 or something like that movies. We cut half of them.
Well, it's just way too many. We've been away for 2 months because we've all been away on like numerous vacations or weekends away. And yet we cut how many movies off this list?
I think half as many as we're going to talk about.
13 movies were cut. 13 movies did not make it. You will not hear about The Crow 2024 today.
Oh, 14, because I forgot to put, I watched the Instigators, that Matt Damon, Casey Affleck movie.
Oh, I kind of wanted to hear how that is.
So 14 movies were cut, and we're going to talk about another 14.
Technically, The Killer was also cut. I did not add it to the list.
Okay, so we cut 15 movies. We'll have a light 14 movie cast.
I watched the first half of Dead Man on Campus, and we're not talking about that.
Ooh, oh yeah, because it just re-dropped on Plex. I've been thinking about watching it too. Got some beers. Let's drink them.
Little extra tidbit for y'all.
It doesn't hold
worse
up.
Than you remember.
Really?
Nope, worse
Dead
than
Man
you
on Campus doesn't hold up.
Shocking.
Yeah. I can't believe it. It's like my entire middle child. Let's get on. We've got like an hour and a half of movies to talk about that we're going to try and get through in an hour and 4 minutes. So no point dragging this intro out any longer than it has to be.
Not at all. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "A good intro is never dragged out. Also, can you hand me that kite?"
And then John Hancock heard him, wrote it into the Declaration of Independence, which was the first line that was cut. Did not make it in there.
Because John, he had a problem where he would just always write down everything that people said.
Exactly. Hence his nickname, Hancock. And then Will Smith made a movie about him. Who knew? Inspired by true events. We all saw Long Legs. Amazingly.
Am I the only one that's like tepid? Like I didn't really like Long Legs.
No, I'm super
I'm
pretty mid on it too.
Fuck it. The movie I think is streamable at this point. I was into it fine until the last like act of the movie where I was like, are we gonna explain this? This is just supernatural.
Then
I don't fucking care. I wanted an explanation grounded in reality because I thought that's what this movie was. And then when it told me that it wasn't that, I was like, well, then I don't care.
So you start off the movie with the main character for some reason being psychic.
Yeah, that's the big that's the thing that took me out of the movie the most.
And this is I don't believe it's ever brought up again.
No.
Not until like the silver ball is shot and then she like has like a psychic freak out sort of, or not really, but like just the reverberations of that and cause her to have like a seizure of sorts.
Yeah. I was just hoping that like it was like there was some sort of like psilocybin or some fucking thing in there that would explain this in a way, because I was like, I'm not into this movie. I'm fine with a supernatural movie. I just didn't want this to be that.
It didn't pan out the way I think that like our head canon had programmed us to like the excitement. And I think that the world itself was just too crazy. The way everyone, like Blair Underwood in this, is like so weird.
So my like main complaint, I think, about Long Legs is when it gets compared to things like, you know, like Silence of the Lambs, yeah, and Hereditary, I feel
which it went out of its way to compare itself to.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Osgood Perkins was like, oh, you know, it's like Silence of the Lambs meets, you know, whatever the fuck. You're the one saying that. Their critics. He said it.
And I feel like in both of those movies, when characters aren't on screen, you can still feel like gears moving behind the scenes to like having things, that things are moving, that there is a like a living world. And for whatever reason in Long Legs, I felt like if a character wasn't on screen, they were just like sitting off screen waiting for themselves to be back on screen to like move the plot forward, as opposed to like doing something in the background and like actually having a world be alive. And again, I think the supernatural thing, that's fine. I don't mind that. Everything about Nicolas Cage was more laughable than anything else, I also think.
I mean, I thought it was fun. Like, I thought it was fun when he was crazy. Because, like, Nicolas
Cage... I like Nicolas Cage having fun, and he was having fun. I just wasn't as interested in the fun... And in the like, I don't care about the world this movie built at all.
Also, don't really like T-Rex.
I was hoping they would, like, do something. Just like do something to let me know that this is like a this could be real sort of thing, even though it can't. I don't know. I just wanted it to be more clever, and it was not, and that kind of took me out of it.
Yeah.
It's not that a movie needs to explain what's going on, but if you're not going to go too deep into anything, you kind of want it to get bigger and weirder and more unscrupulous.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think it does. I think it does the opposite, where it just kind of lands at a dud.
Yeah.
With like trying to explain it by what, while at times trying to be mysterious, but I don't think of any sort of like intriguing way of being mysterious.
It's the scene in Hereditary that I like, that really like, you know, was like the mind blowing scene, is when she like calls the friend, and then it's like it goes to the answering machine, and it's like the picture of the sun on like a board, and like a whole, and like all the symbols around it, and you're just like, wait, what the fuck has been going on this whole time? And there's never that like what the fuck has been going on the whole time moment in this movie.
like when it gets to the twist, you're like, all right.
Like, so that's the twist, really.
So it's like just, and it's, I don't begrudge a movie for doing well. This movie is like cleaning up. It's probably, I think it's going to end up being like one of Neon's like highest grossing films ever. But this is a movie where the marketing was significantly better than the movie presented. Because the marketing was sick and the movie was meh.
It really drew people to the box, to the movie theater, though. Like, for better or worse.
Yeah. It got me to the theater.
Yeah, exactly. Happy about this. Like, as Russ said, like, you can't be upset that this movie's making so much money, that, like, there's another couple horror movies that did very well. Like, if it's going to get people out and talking, it's good for the health of the industry, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it stayed in theaters for a while too. Like, it's not like it did a thing. It was like, oh, it's doing well, let's yank it and put it in streaming as fast as possible, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess I'm glad that I watched it in theaters and had that experience and got to like, you know, enjoy it that way. But personally, if I'm ever going to watch it again, which I don't think I am, I'll be tuning in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
until
there's moments.
Yeah.
There's like, overall, this also doesn't have that like rewatchability and like, oh, let me see if I missed something. It's like, no, you didn't miss anything. If you saw it. Like, there's nothing. I gotta see it again. Like, Hereditary, that movie is 45 hours long, and I still have seen it like 16 times. Long Legs is like 1:40. And I'm like, nah, maybe if we're out of shit to watch around like Halloween season,
Just watch Cry Wolf again.
I like Cry Wolf.
It's a great movie. I watched every Halloween. I know. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, Long Legs, it was like, I appreciate what they were trying to do. I just, actually, I don't know that I appreciate what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it. And that's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I absolutely can't see myself. I like that this movie will live on in GIF format more so than I would ever watch it again.
Yes, the memes have been great.
Yeah,
hearing people totally scream agree. "Daddy, Mommy, Unmake Me" a lot on TikTok has been entertaining for me.
All right, let's keep it going right now. So let's move on to something a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more peppy, a little bit more. I don't know. Let's Kinds of Kindness. That's peppy, right?
Okay. Having seen this movie, I don't know, like six weeks ago or some shit like that.
This is 6 months ago.
I appreciate it more now than I did when I saw it. Because it is truly just Yorgos taking all of his goodwill from Poor Things and The Favorite and saying, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm going to make some shit that nobody going to like.
I'm going back to my roots.
Right. I am back on my bullshit. And Kinds of Kindness is objectively not a movie I can recommend to anybody other than the other people who are on this podcast. Yeah. And I respect the hell out of that. It's kind of like a Nicholas Winding situation where he made Drive and like got super popular and then said, yeah, no, I'm going to do shit no one likes.
Only God forgives.
Oh, God, that movie is dog shit. But I appreciate like making something that is truly for you, taking all your money and getting all your people together. And I like that Jesse Plemons has joined the Yorgos.
Yeah,
cinematic universe.
Repertory players universe, because he
100%
is fantastic.
He's really good in it. Although I will say my favorite moment is the credit sequence with the dogs. I thought that that was extremely funny, and I was just like, okay, and like I guess until that point, I didn't really know if the movie was supposed to be funny. And it was like, oh, all right, it's a bunch of dogs driving cars.
This was definitely one of those movies where like I was laughing, but not very many other people were laughing, and I wasn't like even drunk or high. I was just, I think this movie's an out and out comedy, and I think everybody else is reading into it maybe a little too much, because you know, I saw it at one of those, like I saw it at Jacob Burns, and everyone was like, you know, doing their contemplative look. I'm like, this movie is stupid and funny. And
bow ties on.
And long as hell. It does get a little long in the tooth. I think the second story of the three.
Which one was the second?
Second one is the Emma Stone is
she
like.
She comes back from back being from like.
Oh, that one, yeah, and she like cuts out her like liver or whatever, and
she
all
like
that.
Cuts parts of her body off, and I just didn't connect with that story that much.
Yeah,
So it made me lose a little bit of steam for the third story, which I did find more interesting. Yeah. I think the movie should have been broken up a little differently. I think the first story is perfect.
Yes,
zero notes
as well. I think we're all probably in agreement that it's 1-3-2, right?
1-3-2, and it's not close.
It's
1-3-2, and it is not at all close.
Because I really found that first story super funny.
Loved it.
I would gladly watch probably all three parts of this movie, even though I didn't really like the second one that much. I would gladly watch all three parts of this movie in isolation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to watch this as a 2-hour, 2.5-hour movie. There's no need. But if you watch it as the 45-minute like stories, it's great.
I think the second story shoots itself in the foot, because the first story I was outwardly laughing through most of it. I don't think my theater was exactly on that wavelength for the most part. But there's a part in the second one that is so funny that I think it ruins the rest of that segment. When Jesse Plemons gets the other couple to watch their old home movies.
Yeah, that was that.
And that's right at the beginning of it, too. That's like not that long into it.
Yeah. But it never really hits that wavelength again.
Yeah.
Because no, it doesn't.
I don't think people were laughing as much as I was laughing during story one. And then everyone is laughing at that moment in story two. But then story two never really hits that level of comedy again. So you could feel the whole theater being like, what is this?
Yes. That said, I really, again, I so appreciate this for what it is. Yeah. And I thought it was really, really fun. I thought Jesse Plemons was like revelatory. Him and Willem Dafoe are just, I mean, and Emma, I mean, it's hard to take anything away from any of like his kind of repertory players at this point. They're all so, so good. And they all know what movie this is.
Yep.
And I just think audiences were probably like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I very much enjoy that.
It'll be interesting to see how awards consideration for this movie sort of shakes down.
I think there'll be none in the larger like Globes Oscarverse. I think it can maybe get some smaller stuff. But I think they're going to just try to forget this one because it is so woefully inaccessible.
Yeah.
But that's long too, right? Like it's
very long, very long. Yeah. It's like 3 hours.
It's really long. And that's partially because that second story just drags a little.
So and they all have, there's three credit sequences too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you watch this, Alex, like you're not going to miss anything if you chop them up. I don't think there's any like super strong thematic elements that granted there's kind of a commonality between the three of them in some way, but I don't think you're going to miss anything if you take like a day or two in between them.
Oh, I would like watch part one and then like go do something, live your life a little bit. And then I would not watch them back to back to back. I think that like fucking sucks. I would watch this over the course of a day, but maybe do one around in the morning, the other part in the afternoon, and the other part in the evening. And I think you'll like it a lot more. This is the parts are better than the whole.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Let's keep it going. All right. Moving on to let's do a downer. Let's do a real downer right now. Tell me about Dee Dee.
Dee Dee, not a downer at all. Just a real fun time.
I really want to see this. This looks.
It's a real blend of eighth grade and mid 90s.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's a perfect comparison. It is eighth grade and mid 90s in the late aughts.
Is there a fuck shit in this?
Kind of.
Okay. All right. Oh, that character.
But I think it's really fun. It's just a really solid coming of age, movie. They make a bajillion of these, and this is just a version that's very good. And I think that the kid is such a real feeling kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dee Dee or Wang Wang, he feels like such a kid you grew up with or have known at some point in your life. And I think his mom is fantastic. And the relationship between him and his sister is a very realistic sibling relationship. And it was it's just really delightful. And it's not doing anything that's like brand new or it's not breaking any new ground, but it's just doing what you've seen before at a high level.
And like, I know it's like, takes place in like the Bay Area, and do you need to have any, or is there an additional like jubilance you get like for that you both were lacking from not growing up in the Bay Area I don't think so.
I think it's like it's just more about like living in the suburbs, and there's a little bit more of a skate culture to the West Coast that we don't really have here the same way. But there's nothing you're really missing.
Okay.
It's a really good time.
Yeah. I really want to see it. It looks really good. I think it's still out right now. But
yeah, it's still out.
Yeah,
I saw it like a few days ago.
It's been building and having a pretty good. I think they've been doing the limited to wider release, doing that very well. Something we'll get to later that is not doing its limited to wide release well at all. We'll talk about
Borderlands,
Sing Sing, which is Sing Sing is like everyone wants this. Everything online are people like, I would like to go see Sing Sing, please. Can you please put it in a theater near me? And it seems to be botching its like limited release.
I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I saw Sing Sing like 3 days ago, and like I live near a theater where it should have been out a month ago.
Yeah.
And tell us about Sing Sing. What is Sing Sing all about?
Yeah. Sing Sing's on a true story of Sing Sing prison and a theater kind of group of
like rehabilitation through the arts. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Which is like a program that is real, that happens out of Sing Sing, which is in Ossining, which is two towns away from me. And
Domingo plays a real guy, but most of the other characters all play themselves.
Yes. Oh, interesting. Okay.
They're
kind of like a Nomadland type
thing. They are real former prisoners of said prison. And they're really good.
Yeah. The other main character,
Clarence Macklin. I don't remember his character's name, but that dude's getting nominated for supporting actor and likely winning.
Yeah. He's really, really incredible. I would say even more so than Borderlands, it's a movie that I did, which at times was just a documentary.
I saw your Letterboxd, and I do see that to some degree. Like if there was like an HBO doc about the real place, it would be nice, because at the end you see a lot of the real footage from these plays that they put on in the prison, and it's like I would love to see not only one, like a documentary about the real people, but I'd also maybe like to see one of their actual plays. Like I really would.
And wait, the documentary about Borderlands? Is that what you said?
yes.
It was a making joke.
Yeah.
But the movie is very good. I think that there's two award shoo-ins, and it's Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. And I do think that right now they are both the Clubhouse favorites for winning those awards.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay.
The biggest competition is going to be how the Challengers guys land in those categories, but also
they'll go supporting, and I think they'll cannibalize each other.
And do they even stick around that long? Are awards bodies going to remember Challengers from like 4 months ago from now? Well, four that already came out 4 months ago, and then like voting's not for another 4 months.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think Sing Sing is one of those movies. I know a lot of, like, it seems like people are like, to your point, like, I really want to see it. How do I see it?
Yeah.
The movie came out like a month and a half ago, and it's still not easy to see.
Yeah.
Is it still playing at Lincoln Center?
I assume so. I haven't checked.
It's like, it premiered at Lincoln Center, like, I want to say mid-July. We didn't get it in Westchester until like a week ago.
Yeah,
it's crazy just given how close Sing Sing is. Just premiered to Chicago.
Right, I'm like, how aren't you like doing a Q? And actually, I do think they did a Q&A like with the director like maybe a month ago. But I just assumed once you do the Q&A, you'll drop the movie. But
you
waited a whole month between like their special screening, and I'm like, this makes no sense. This is like where the movie was filmed, like literally 15 minutes from this movie theater. Why aren't we like capitalizing on some of that?
Really,
but it's still really good. It's like a good A24. They're making too much now that not all of it is good, but it's good.
A lot right now.
They are.
They got a lot of TV
acquisitions, TV and actual productions, but this is a good one. It will get a lot of awards love, and it'll probably still be difficult to see.
All right, let's bounce.
All right, let's talk about something that we all liked, Thelma.
This is a Magnolia release, which I don't know what their awards campaigning are like, but this what I would say would be the strongest best supporting actor competition in my mind.
Or Fred, or Richard Roundtree.
Richard Roundtree.
Yeah, he's just not alive for them to give a shit about putting a campaign together.
Oh, I can see that.
Do you know what Thelma is?
Yeah, a June Squibb. I know that.
Yes.
It is so fucking good. It makes me sick.
I've seen the poster.
It's as funny as you expect the premise to be, but it's not silly, which I was so happy about.
Yes.
Right. It's not making fun of any of its characters. It is so real and how it deals with every generation of people that appear on screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so deep into those relationships from grandmother to grandson, from parent.
Oh, that
parent.
I was like
all levels.
Like I was prepared to like, especially when it was Parker Posey and Clark Gregg as like the sandwich parents, like the Gen Xers. I was like prepared to not like them.
Right.
And I didn't dislike. This is one of those, like, I mean, there is, if you want to say there's a villain, there is, but it's one of those movies where you just kind of care about everybody so much that you don't expect to. Like, I thought it was going to be like Thelma the everyone. That's where I'm, that's my standpoint. And it's like, no, I actually kind of give a shit about everyone and everyone's vantage point. And I don't know, this movie does a good job of like, highlighting how difficult getting older is and getting older within a family structure and unit, because you don't just get old in isolation unless that's what you want.
but because that
your aging affects everyone.
Yeah. And that description goes for both Thelma and her grandson.
Yes.
What I think is the smartest part of the movie.
And their relationship.
I thought
he
was awesome. I really, really, really like, I just felt for him so much. I'm like, I want this guy to get it together.
I was prepared to just be pissed at him the whole time, or to like end up hating him, and then just being just like, no, he's actually making the right decisions and right, the good choices right now. Let's go. Wait, it's not working out. Hold on.
Yeah. I really liked him.
There's a sequence I think that perfectly encapsulates this movie, what this movie's able to do. It's when Thelma and Richard Roundtree's character go visit a friend of theirs who they haven't seen in a long time. And this sequence jumps back and forth from being fucking hilarious to utterly depressing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like death touch, because like Thelma's upstairs like trying to steal her gun.
Yeah.
And they treat like her having to like get up on a bed as an action sequence.
Which it fucking is.
It totally is.
It's like so cute and like fun and good.
But this woman's life is so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good. I can't wait to watch it again.
Have only seen it twice. This is like after Challengers, this is one of the first movies I've seen this year where it like kicked in the door to my top 10. Because it's a very open top 10 this year,
which is crazy so this far. Late in the year.
Yeah, like we're hitting September and Oscar bait season, and I like really only have maybe two movies that I'm like are 100% locked in, and it's the Challengers and Thelma. That's how much I like Thelma.
Yeah, Thelma's you get that's the one on this list that I'm probably the most excited to rewatch.
It's so fun.
I've got it. I just haven't rewatched it yet. Don't do it. Go do it.
Alex, make this the next movie you watch.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got access 100%. To it.
I don't give a shit what you watch next. Like you have so many things you can watch. Make this the next one, please.
You got it.
Thank you. All right, there we go. Alex is on the record. We'll be watching Thelma.
I hereby make this promise to the American people.
We'll do the Thelma report next time.
The Thelma report.
All right.
This week.
Yeah, come October, we want to hear what you think.
Exactly. Or September.
So after I watched, what was it, Interspace? What's the one you guys love?
Interstellar?
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, Interspaces, that's not bad. That's just...
Yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Oh, God. All right. Let's knock out a couple here, just like quickly, because we still got a bunch to go through. So, Rush, tell us about National Anthem.
Dude, National Anthem is that movie you do not hear of at all. About
that's exactly right.
A young man who is like a day laborer to sort of make money for his mom and brother. He's trying to save up to buy an RV. And he ends up getting a job working on a like queer ranch.
Okay.
And he and it's basically just about his adventure, sort of finding himself as a, you know, cisgendered, you know, white man in a space full of, for lack of a better expression, others. And just sort of coming to terms with his sexuality and all these different things, all on a like Texas style ranch. And this movie does a very good job of sort of reclaiming quote unquote patriotism. Because it's not just for, because it's almost like being a patriotic now, like can have a yucky connotation to it. And this movie does a really good job of reclaiming that for anyone who feels like, you know, loving where they live and loving what they do. And, you know, that's not just for, you know, the bad guys. So really good movie, super beautiful, really small, doesn't have a whole lot to say, but says what it has to say in a really interesting way. And if you have an hour and a half to kill, I don't think you can do worse.
The Olympics are off, so I do.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. It's a beautiful little movie.
All right. But let's move on from one beautiful movie to another. Pete, what did you think of Borderlands?
Oh, it's absolute dog shit.
This could be like one of the worst movies ever.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know about ever, but because I also saw The Crow the other day.
The Crow was worse. Right,
question. How in the Eli Roth filmography, where would you place this?
Bottom. And I haven't seen all of his films. So absolutely.
Did you see Thanksgiving?
I like Thanksgiving.
I like Thanksgiving.
It was like Scream, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like the top of my Eli Roth. That's probably like The House with the Clock in its Walls might be Eli Roth's best movie.
That's Eli Roth.
But so, so the problem with The House with the Clock in its Walls, it directly led to Borderlands.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I understand that.
So Kate Blanchett and
Jack Black.
And Jack Black were like, yeah, we like this guy.
Yeah, we had such a good time.
Apparently.
That house and its clocks.
Yeah, it's got walls probably.
Yeah. Borderlands. So apparently there was like a well-regarded script for this movie going around for years. And then Eli Roth came in and he said, no, thank you. I'll take this on my own. And this movie is dog shit.
But here's my problem. Like, really? A well-regarded script for Borderlands? I still don't buy that.
Well, but like from the writer of The Last of Us TV show.
Oh.
And
but isn't that just, I like that show.
The Last of Us? Like,
yeah,
there was a story there in the video game. I know the story of Borderlands. It's not that.
But it's not this either, for the most part.
That's fair.
So it feels visually uninterested in itself.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it likes it. Like, I've never watched a movie that felt like it hated itself more.
Do you blame it?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. The moment this movie opens and Kevin Hart's making like a Spaceballs reference. I assume it had to be a Spaceballs reference when you said he couldn't breathe in the helmet.
He calls someone like, a fake stormtrooper. But isn't this in a different like galaxy? And
I mean, probably
far, far away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so you don't know. They could have Star Wars there. They could have their own Star Wars.
Every timeline has its own Star Wars.
Exactly.
Because the sad thing about every timeline having its own Star Wars is that every timeline has its own Nazis that can be referenced by Star Wars.
Right, exactly. There's always a man. There's always a lighthouse.
Yeah. But it's
so it's not good.
It seems to hate itself. Cate Blanchett's surprisingly trying.
At times.
Kevin Hart, I've never seen him give a more disinterested performance. He seems like he hates this, which is confusing because it's not like Kevin Hart makes like great movies.
No, he does like Netflix movies.
Right. And and Central Intelligence, one of the best.
I was just about to say, unless you're Tiggs and put Central Intelligence in your top 10.
It's still there. So that's a great movie. Yeah. Yeah. But even more than I would say Kevin Hart, Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I
don't understand her performance.
Please get me out of this movie. Like, I think I signed on for the wrong thing.
Do you think that if this movie came out 2 years ago, she would not have won her Oscar? Like this could have norbited her.
Maybe, because maybe she wouldn't have been as like huge on the campaign for Everything Everywhere like she was.
Yeah, that's possible. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if it's that. Yeah, I guess it's possible.
Who knows? It's absolute garbage.
It's really bad. Jack Black is
I was about to say.
Jack Trap is like overly annoying, but like in this movie, it's so refreshing. You're just like, oh, thank God, there's energy for. Isn't like, I hate this energy, but like at least it's something.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm starving. I'll eat this dog shit.
Yeah, it really is that. It is 100% that. That's how bad this is. All right. Let's not talk about it. We're going to blink twice.
About The Crow, which may in fact be worse.
The Crow is actually devoid of anything.
but the Crow doesn't seem like it hates itself. That's my.
I don't know. The Crow does seem like it hates it. The Crow doesn't like itself. The characters definitely. It's. Maybe the movie doesn't hate itself. Maybe the movie's like really trying, but you can tell that like those people are like, we're supposed to be people who hate everything all the time for no, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Crow is out. The Crow is not. And the soundtrack sucks compared to the original Crow soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, agreed. But okay, we digress. Borderlands sucks. Don't even give it a try. Like, it's not even worth the curiosity.
It's not funny.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
I went and saw a movie and then I snuck into Borderlands because like I'm not paying for this, so I can at least feel like I'm okay to leave
at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not worth the time, honestly. Unless your option is that or The Crow, in which case probably watch Borderlands. Russ, what'd you think of Blink Twice?
It's just a better version of Don't Worry Darling. So if you
It is, and it's like more cohesive, like way more cohesive. There's no plane that crashes for no reason. Yeah.
And it's weird because it's another movie that is like directed by somebody who is like actively sleeping with the lead male.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Zoe Kravitz and Channing Tatum have been a thing for a minute now.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. I do not pay attention to the tabloids.
Yeah. They've been together like a year and a half, maybe two. But it's like very, very, very similar in that respect. And it's a very similar plot. It's just better. And it finds a way to make very, very dark subject matter a little funny until it's creepy.
Until it's like not the trigger funny warnings. At all.
Did yours have a trigger warning?
They you saw it? One as like a public statement.
I saw it Saturday, and there was like right as before it aired there was like a giant trigger warning, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that this was one of these.
They had one at Nighthawk.
It was right, it was deserved, and I honestly it's the first time that I've had a trigger warning before a movie, and because I didn't hate it.
It's funny because the last time I've seen anything like this, because I said there was like stuff online that was even like, hey, as a heads up, from like as a piece of Blink Twice's press. And the last time I saw this was Channing Tatum getting out there to be like, hey, just as a heads up, everyone, the dog and dog does not die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was, but it's not like you don't expect it in a lot of ways. These guys are terrible, and I know that there's something creepy going on here.
Oh, yeah. But you can see it coming. It's just, even when you see it.
The flash, like the first time it happens, when like she snaps out of it and like has the flashback, you're just like, oh, fuck, this is brutal. Like this is, it happens more times. It's rough. It's very rough.
Oof. It is. It's definitely rough. The trigger warning was appreciated because I really didn't know much about the movie. I watched the trailer like once. And I mean, I kind of had some idea, you know, this place isn't what it seems, right, sort of movie. I just didn't know what that meant. And the trigger warning ahead of time kind of let me know, oh, this is going to be. So then I was like watching it to see like, how do they balance the tone of a movie that's like objectively kind of funny with really, 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 really dark, assaulty sort of stuff. Yeah. And they do a decent job. And I'm like, this is Zoe Kravitz's first movie. So I'm like,
very
props
impressive
to you for taking something that is like not easy or fun to do and still sort of filming it. Now, I wish she didn't go on the press trail and talk about how great Roman Polanski is.
That's a little bit of a
misstep.
But I'm gonna let it slide. You know, first movie, whatever. But it is good. It's just it's just Don't Worry, Darling, but better.
Right. And tonally, it reminded me a lot of times of like, what was it, The Menu? And like being like very dark but very funny at times. But the switch in this, and like once it happens, like it's just not funny anymore. You're just like, I can't laugh at like, this, just it's over. And like the last like 30 minutes, 40 minutes are just like, this is rough, this is brutal. In like, not in a bad way. Like you're entranced and you want to see like how it all comes out and like are rooting for the characters. But the menu is funny through the end, even when it all goes up in flames.
Yeah, this stops especially being funny when it all goes up about in flames. 30 to 35 minutes to go. This movie is no longer funny.
Yeah, exactly. Alex.
Yeah.
The Lone Strange Darling Seer. Tell us all about it. In fact, spoil the whole movie right now.
I've seen it in the morning.
Pete again in the morning just to reiterate all the spoilers.
Hey, guys. It's coming to you straight from the Strange Darling news desk. We got hot news, and it's that this movie's very good.
Awesome.
It would do a disservice to it to give you any spoilers. But I will say that everyone in this does a great job. It's Giovanni Ribisi's cinematic debut, right?
Cinematographer. Yeah, he's like the cinematographer, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
I don't know what would call that. Like, what word would you put there for, say, his Blank debut?
His film?
Yeah, like...
Behind the camera debut? Know.
Yeah, but
behind the candelabra.
I don't know.
But yeah, so it's. I can't tell you anything about it.
Okay. Like, I know absolutely not. I know zero things about this movie. The one fact I know about this movie is Giovanni Ribisi shoots it.
It's shot on 35mm.
That they've been all about that in the press. I feel like I actually probably know too much about this movie already.
I don't. That's all I know.
And part of the twist.
Don't even watch the trailer. You know the twist, Tiggs?
I think so.
Then be quiet.
But the thing, it feels a lot like Barbarian in how like people are talking about this.
Well, isn't it from like a? I feel like the poster's like from somebody who had a something to do with Barbarian.
Somebody should get something to do with Barbarian.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's on the poster. It's like, hey, did you
from
like
the
that?
Second cousin of the art director.
it looks great. It's got a very like kind of grindhousey look.
Yeah, because of the 35 mil.
Yeah. So it looks awesome. Willa Fitzgerald is great. You might know her from the Scream TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've
seen that.
I always wanted to watch that, oddly.
It's actually, just watch the first season. Totally serviceable.
There was more than one season?
There was three. I'm on the second right now.
Oddly enough, I'm just like kind of going down a wiki hole right now. I didn't realize Kyle Gallner, who's also in that movie, is like 37. I just I thought he was like 20 something because he's always been like a young person. But then he was on Smallville. He was like a Bart Allen in Smallville, but that was 15 years ago. So it does track that he is around our age.
Don't wiki anymore. Go into this as blank as you can.
Oh no, I just truly was looking up that alone.
No, but
too much. You don't even want to know anything about his past.
You actually want to probably like gas yourself. I'm not kidding.
Like Kanye?
Oh God.
Yeah. Like no. He is. He was like texting his dentist to ask to make him to make it legal.
Yeah, he was in a group chat with his dentist and Milo whatever Yiannopoulos. The fuck. Yiannopoulos.
Oh, what a terrible vibes of that group.
Oh yeah.
Nightmare blunt rotation of our girls.
We're done with Strange Starling.
But anyway, watch it and see it in theaters before it gets blown.
Okay, yeah, I think it just kind of dropped, so I will see that this weekend.
This is a movie that I feel like needs the long legs, like, sort of marketing push, even if that marketing push is like, don't tell anybody what you saw, or don't tell anybody about it, just go see. Like, it feels like there's not as much as there should. The only time I see it is when I'm on Letterboxd and there's like fucking banner ads for it. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know what this thing was.
Yeah, they're doing a little too much. They're like, don't even let anyone know you saw it. And it's like, not how
that doesn't help.
No. But still, it's not ground. Listen, it's not like groundbreaking, but it's just a good flick.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited. Okay. All right. Let's move on and let's talk about. All right. We've got a couple to go here. Jesus Christ. Let's go to the one that's been on here the longest, probably, which is A Quiet Place Day One. Which is fun. Yeah.
It's very good. You could see the Michael Sarnowski of Pig fame. You could see where he said, yeah, I want to try to make this a little smaller.
Yeah, I just want to make a personal, like, little story that's, like, taking place with this, like, alien invasion. Very, I mean, obviously quiet, but, like, it feels like even more so than the first or the second.
And it's really interesting because like we don't know we know the family now for two movies.
Yeah.
And they're a family, so you kind of have a vested interest in them being okay. But I'm like, this is just like a random dude and a random lady, and I am finding myself caring as much about what they want. than I've cared about. Oh,
can't believe you just said this movie is about a man and a woman and has said nothing about this beautiful.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the cat is fucking fantastic. But
oh, fantastic. Is all right.
It's like basically a three-hander.
Yeah, the cat's the third lead.
Yes,
yeah. It honestly is.
I was like, are they gonna be psychotic? And I mean, the cat doesn't die. And I don't think that's a spoiler.
Going all Channing Tatum on.
I heard the cat was not happy about its place on the
I did show. Think for a good Probably. While. I was like, they're gonna kill this fucking cat, and I'm gonna lose my mind because this movie is so bleak and it's so dark, but it also kind of isn't.
Yeah,
it's all about humanity, and it's like good for what it is.
Yeah, and also the cat came out and said it's okay to let things like Rosemary's Baby go because there's like a ton of other art to care about.
there's moments in, I you say like a random dude in a random, like the dude really is random. They just kind of like see each other, or he's just her, a dude. Yeah. He's just like, I'm just gonna start following you. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Which in a way is like weird, but also in a way of like, if the world is ending, that's probably what I would do as well. Yeah. Be like, I don't know, this person seems like they're going somewhere. That's more than I got going for me right now. Up until like, I think that like the quiet performance at the pizzeria at the end is like one of my like favorite moments so far, like this year. I thought that was just like beautifully done and like brought a tear to my eye, and I thought it was just like so well done.
Yeah. The thing that drove me crazy, Alex, so for when you watch this to know, is that I could not remember for the life of me, I really should have looked it up beforehand, whether or not Jaimon Hunsu was in Quiet Place Day 2 or Part 2 or not.
Yes. I thought yes, but now I don't remember.
Either. He was. Okay. And it drove me crazy. It was like, wait, so is he supposed to be playing? Wait, so first I was like, was he in that? And is he playing the same character? Or am I just mixing him up with someone else? And it just completely like distracted me for the first like 15 minutes. But granted, he's not in it for long, which is nice. But he is playing the same person.
Okay. That's good to know.
It was like, it was driving me insane.
So just know that going in, Alex.
Know that going in. Jaimon Hunsu's in
it. And now, because Pete said that to you, you can spoil all of Strange Darling for him.
But don't.
Don't.
Oh, yeah. Great movie. Great. Some, like, completely unexpectedly moving sequences, as you said. Yeah.
Just really well done.
And some upsetting ones. Like, everyone's, like, slow march to South Street was really upsetting to watch.
The only issue I have with this movie isn't this movie's fault. It's just like, it's so weird now that if you make a really good movie like Pig, you're just going to get absorbed into like a different IP's universe.
That's fair,
and
yeah.
Have to try to like find a way to do what you've always done, but like in a bigger world. He did it as good as you can do it. It just made me a little sad because I'm like, this is what's left for people who make like really great movies and aren't like household names. Yeah. You're just gonna get sucked into another universe to make better versions of shit that we've already seen, and it's a little sad.
I think that his next film is going to be like, I have no idea what it is, but I could see him going and being like, okay, I did like the indie one, the big one. Let me go back to like a small one for me. Then I'll go back to the big one.
I certainly
like that would be great. Cause I do think that like, that was a trend for at least a while, like in the early 2000s.
Yeah. One for us, one for them. Right?
Exactly. One for us, one for them. Yeah.
And don't forget, we're going to end this podcast with talking about the director of Minari's latest picture.
Can't wait for that. I can't wait. Yeah, let's keep going so we can get there. All right, let's talk about Don't Breathe. The director of Don't Breathe picture, Alien Romulus.
It's
I like it.
Yeah,
I enjoy good. It.
There's some things in it that detract from it greatly.
Yes.
As a whole,
I'm one of the people who don't care for the last 15 minutes. And I'm also one of the people who definitely doesn't care for one of the characters we didn't know was going to be in the movie until they're in the movie.
Yeah, I think that character actively takes away from the movie. The quote unquote casting of that role adds absolutely nothing.
It just makes me mad,
especially because we were on our like. We have an artificial person character in this movie. We don't need to reference an old one. Like, who cares?
I think two of them is weird. It like...
Unless it's two Davids and it's Alien Covenant. But I thought that the... What's his name? Andy? I'm like, Andy was such a
Andy was so
strong
good.
Character.
Yeah.
Such a good character.
Andy is,
I thought Rain was great too, honestly.
I thought Rain was fine. Like, Rain was that like protagonist we see in all of these movies. But I thought like Andy was such a, it's a kind of the problem with a lot of these newer alien movies is your android is like, that's the best role in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Fassbender got to cook in both of those.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
In both Prometheus and being double Fassbendered in Covenant.
I really and this is like, and, like, fucking good in that movie.
Yeah. And it's like, he's like acting circles around everybody else. And Andy in this one, I'm like, I love you. I care about your character so much. I don't care what happens to anyone else. I really like you.
Yeah. So I think that is my, if there's any one problem with it, is I did really like Rain, and I thought that the actress gave like a really great performance, and I thought it was like a good, you know, like female lead of an alien movie. She did really well at it. I thought that Andy was fantastic, phenomenal. Everyone else could have died and I wouldn't have given a shit, but I guess
I didn't care at all. Yeah. And it's funny when you see Isabella Merced, who is going to be what, Hawk Girl and whatever. And she's going to be in The Last of Us, and you see, this character is pregnant. I was like, oh, so, but I don't care about her. So I'm like, you're going to kill a pregnant lady in this movie? Because you just know, like, by having seen enough alien movies, you know, not a lot of people are going to live. Yeah, and I'm like, well, I don't care if she lives or dies. You're trying to make me care just by saying that they're pregnant.
But I
don't give a shit at all.
I was only attached to her because I deeply love her from her performance as Dora in The Lost.
Oh my god.
A movie I own on Blu-ray now and have seen 3 or 4 times because it's fucking great. Not a bit. The Dora the Explorer live action movie is delightful.
All right, so
Alex, what were you going to say?
Should I watch this movie? Should I see Alien Romulus?
It's good.
Like, going 40X.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch Dora first.
All right.
I guess it's
a little better than Covenant, but not as good as Prometheus, because I like Prometheus.
As a Prometheus defender, I think it is on par with my like real love of Prometheus, which I think is like just a really, really solid sci-fi like
I like Covenant more than Prometheus.
I haven't seen Covenant in a long time, and I really wanted to rewatch it.
I've seen Prometheus a bunch. I've only seen Covenant once.
I like the last 10 minutes because it really connects Prometheus to the other movies in a way that Covenant doesn't do that much. But also puts it to bed.
Yeah. So Alex, there is so much of this movie that is Dead Space. Like is straight up ripped out of Dead Space.
It does some real fun things with Zero G.
Yeah. That I think that it was fun to see because they did them very well in like in more of a movie setting. Like it didn't feel like it was just ripping off of a video game. It felt proper for it.
Zero G is a sensible bank account.
I highly recommend it. Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching this.
All right.
Three to go. Let's go Deadpool Wolverine. Bad. Y'all hated it.
Hated it.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
I liked it.
It just isn't, it's not about anything, and it doesn't matter, and it doesn't do anything, and I didn't care.
I agree with all of those points, but I think I could say those about most of the Marvel movies that have come out recently.
And I think that's the problem. Like, this movie is being, it's like one now the highest grossing R-rated movie ever made. And it's like, it just worries me when this movie is this successful, because this is one of the most empty Marvel movies ever. I don't know, what are there, 33 or 34 of these movies? This is probably, I haven't ranked them in a really, really long time, but if I had to rank, this would probably be like the 22nd best Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So that's not saying a lot. There's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of blood, and Wolverine and Deadpool fight for like 45 minutes of this movie. I didn't give a shit. I just didn't care. I'm like, I don't know this Wolverine, and it's a multiversal issue, but I'm like, I don't fucking care.
I don't. So that's the thing that I wish, and I know it's not going to come out of this, but if this was the movie to kill all the multiverse shit, I'd be like, put it in the top five for me because I'm sick of
it. But all it does is comment on the multiverse by doing all of the things I don't like that multiverses do. And so that doesn't make you better by making fun of something that you're actively doing.
Yeah, I was about to say, does it just like wink and nod at all that stuff and say, like, well, doesn't this suck?
Yeah, but you're doing it. So it does suck.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I completely agree. Multiverse stuff is like, it's played.
It's exhausting and they need to get out of it. Yeah. And I just didn't care. And it's like Cassandra Nova as a villain. She did as good of a job as you can do, but I'm like, I'm tired of like what a lot of the Fox movies did for so long. They just like took people because they were cool and said, we're going to give you this person. I'm like, this is somebody who is so uniquely tied to Charles Xavier, who doesn't need to be in this movie, but you're just taking a villain just because it's fucking interesting and they're cool. But I'm like, none of this fucking matters, and this whole movie takes place in a nothing verse. Like, none of it.
What about
most of the movie is in the fucking Mad Max land, and it's like, this is fucking stupid.
What about when Elektra showed up and Blade showed
care.
Up? And Channing Tatum showed up as Gambit.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Like, this didn't do anything for me at all. And it just made me mad. And it is not bad, but it's not good.
Yeah. I think a lot of that stuff would have worked if any of the visuals were any good. Like, the Mad Max world looks awful.
Yeah, it's just a giant green screen.
The opening fight sequence of which was the title sequence was the same bit over and over again.
Yeah.
Like they had one idea for how to present the names, and you don't have a lot of ideas here. This can't be all of this and this long and this much. Like, it was just so tiring. The only like fight I enjoyed that I thought looked good was the one inside the car.
I hated it. It was too long.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, yeah.
I like the car, but I thought
it was too fucking long. I'm like, and I'm tired of watching two people who can't fucking kill each other try to kill each other.
Yeah. I'm totally okay with it all. I just came back from Disney World. and while I was there.
So you were drinking the Kool-Aid.
So you were picking for the good review of this movie?
So when we were there, Mary Ellen was like, so do you want to go do the Marvel stuff? And I was like, no, I don't. And I didn't do any of it. I didn't even see any of it. I had like no interest in doing any of it. I was at the Star Wars.
Did you go to the cantina and get a drink?
Yes, I did. And it was fucking great.
That sounds so awesome.
Rise of the Resistance is one of the greatest experiences you could possibly have on like a ride. It was so good. But like I've been so just like done with all of the Marvel stuff. And this was after I saw Deadpool Wolverine, which again, like I did enjoy. I was just like, I don't really care. I don't want to do the Guardians ride. I don't want to see any of it. Like I'm so done. So like going into this, knowing that I'm like kind of like over it and just being just like, just make fun of it because I am sick of it was enough for me. I know that that's not the the general consensus of it. But I was, for someone who watched like Quantumania like three times, because I was like, I don't know. It's significantly better, I think, than a lot of the more recent stuff. Even though it is objectively annoying.
To me, this was like, I get it. This movie's going to make $1 billion and we're going to learn all the wrong lessons. I think that's what gets me more with this movie than anything else is like, this movie is going to make so many more movies that I'm going to hate so much more. Like, they're going to learn the absolute wrong lessons from this. And to Deadpool's point in the movie, which he says 100 times, we're going to make this guy do this until he's 90. And I'm like, no, you are, though.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that.
But the question is it going to be like, what's going to be worse in the long run, this or Joker Folie à Deux?
Oh, that looks like fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
Absolute dog shit. But
I cannot wait to hate that movie.
Oh yeah. That's gonna be the worst of the year for me, and it doesn't matter
It hasn't even come out.
It's the worst movie of the year.
Folie à Deux might be the movie that breaks me and says like Interstellar is not going to be the worst movie every year anymore. It's going to be Folie à Deux. All right, yeah. Trap. Great.
Trap rules.
Trap's fun.
Yeah.
Trap's super good.
It's a movie. So the thing about Trap is that I don't get how people like it because it's a movie that never is taking itself seriously.
No, so it's hilarious.
When complaining like, this is the reality so of it or the dialogue, this movie thinks it's silly and is trying to be silly.
Yes.
Yeah. And 100%. It's like Josh Hartnett is like cartoonishly evil and cartoonishly nice. And they're both so funny.
He is very like I don't know if I've like listened to like the Blank Check and read a couple things, but I think that the one thing that I haven't really seen compared to is Anthony Perkins in like Psycho, who is like overly nice a lot of times to like a crazy degree, which I think that Hartnett is channeling here in a lot of ways. Like I think that Psycho is very prevalent in this movie.
And as much as I shit on, you know, multiverses and expanded universes, I would like to see his character interact with, like, the Split guy and all the other guys. I'm like, get this guy in those movies.
Die at the end of Glass?
Yeah, they all die. Okay, but probably. I'm like, get him back. Get him in there. This guy's fun.
Yeah.
Having a good time. This movie is silly as shit. Yeah. But it is like cartoonishly fun.
Yeah. And like, and the twist that happens is just really well done when like after they leave the concert.
Yeah.
And I think it's so well done.
To call any of this a twist though. It's just, but
yeah,
but you're just,
it's just a progression. But it feels like that you like, it's not like him being the killers. It's in trailer, you know, but there had to be something that like changed the dynamic. You know, and when that happens, it's really great.
The Shyamalan fear watching that movie is that, oh, he's not actually a serial killer. He's actually protecting someone from his family who's a killer. Like, his daughter's a killer or his wife's a killer. And he's actually just, like, he's looking out for them. He's just a good dad kind of thing. And that doesn't happen, which I think in lesser times in Shyamalan's career, he would have attempted something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And then the actual like final reveal of how he got caught, I thought was like really, it was really well done. And then the entire last scene was very well done as well.
So I saw this twice.
I'm so excited to see it again.
On second watch, Hartnett's performance is incredible.
Really?
The thing that I didn't really notice the first time around that is very evident about how much he actually plays, how much he loves his daughter in this movie.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Even though there's a lot of, like, silliness, as you said, with, like, him being, like, an evil person or him being nice. But, like, some of that is just based off of how of true worry about his daughter's, not safety, but just happiness.
Yeah. He's trying to protect his daughter at all costs throughout this movie. You believe that as like a dad, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, like he is a very believable dad figure, even though he's also a serial killer.
But not even protecting, not even just like the things that you would understand, like you would expect, like not just protecting her from the truth about him or her from getting hurt, but just like he's trying to protect her just from being sad about like lifestyle stuff.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like the girls who were mean to her.
Yeah.
And like you know, them trying to set up the pizza party. And it's like, and he never wants to kill that other woman, which you would almost expect as like a, you know, like crazy. It's not that. He's just like, get away from me and get away from my daughter. I don't want her to have anything to do with you because of how mean your bratty kids are. And like, and I think that is a very real like reaction as like a father.
and a delightful payoff to that that girl and her mom.
Oh, so good. So good.
So fun.
It's a really good time.
I think this is like my favorite Shyamalan since like The Visit. I like it more than Old, and I like it more than Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah.
I really like Knock at the Cabin. I don't know if I like it better than that, but it's definitely something I'd probably watch more than that because it's just
That's true.
It's got a high rewatchability level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
All right.
The next movie we've got to talk about.
Glenn Campbell's Twisters. Glenn Powell's Twisters. God damn it. Glenn blew it.
Did you like Minari? The story.
I did like Minari.
A Korean immigrant family trying to make it on a farm. Well, you're going to love that director's legacy sequel to 1995's Twister.
I love that he said some bullshit like this movie is a spiritual sequel to Minari. I was
did
like,
he really?
Shut. Yes, he did. I was like, shut your fucking
King
beautiful
shit.
Mouth.
King shit.
I love that that's some horse shit that he said to get this movie. And he used like footage of Minari to like convince Amblin that he was the man for the job. And I don't know how he conned them, but I'm happy he did because Twisters is some of most fun I've had at the movies.
It's so fun. I am only upset that it was already out of 4DX at New Rock when I went to go and see it.
I think
Cargill has a 4DX ticket for Labor Day Monday, and I'm like, I think I have to.
You do have to. It seems so.
It also made me like not hate country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie's a vibe.
Except it was a religious experience.
I think this does such a great job. That's always a fear of a legacy sequel that is going to try to do too much with the story and like be like, oh yeah, well, you guys loved that blockbuster in the 90s, but we're smarter than that, and it doesn't try that. It's pretty much the same format of Twister. Like, here's the tornado to intro. Well, here's the intro tornado that
is the evil tornado.
Yeah. Here's the intro tornado that just tells you about what they're trying to do, but they don't do it. Here's the tornado that splits into two. Here's the tornado that catches them by surprise.
Yeah.
At night, at an event. And then here's the big tornado at the end.
Yep.
And I like that every tornado has a twirly mustache.
Yep.
That's my favorite part of this movie.
And like the intro to this movie. Of like, you know, much like in the, you know, how it starts is like that, you know, the tornado that causes them to, you know, kind of like give up on the life
or around
them. Yeah. Like kills a bunch of fucking people right away.
I like this movie starts out like a Scream film.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really does. But you just always know who the tornado is.
The tornado's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so stupid. I love it.
Yeah, I ended up taking my my niece and my nephew to go and see this, and my niece was very much against it. She was like, "No, this is going to be terrible. It's going to be so scary. I don't want to deal with it." We left, and she was like, "That was great." My nephew was like, "It was dumb." I was like, "Yeah, it was dumb, but it was awesome."
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah,
same thing. My sister texted me. She's like, "Did you see Deadpool and Wolverine?" I said, yes, it's not good. Go see Twisters instead. And she said, Twisters, are you kidding me?
Huh.
Like, just go fucking do it, dummy. And she texted me 2 days later, is like, Twisters rules.
Yeah.
It does.
It absolutely
it's
does.
It's just a fun fucking time.
Yeah. Like, it ruled, but I could use more multiverse. My God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm shooketh to my core that they did not find a way to just make... this girl's mom, Helen Hunt. I'm like, it was right there.
Well, no, I thought that Helen Hunt like had her own script for Twisters at some point, and she wanted to do it. And I don't know if this is like real or not, but I feel like there.
I
was
did
something...
hear she did have her own idea for a sequel or wanted to be in it or whatever. But I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, they're just straight up saying, yeah, no, fuck it, we'll get more Tierney.
But you know what?
Doesn't matter.
It's all right.
And that's fine. It's fine that they don't connect it whatsoever, but I just thought it would have been really easy to do it.
Yeah.
But it takes nothing away from the movie. That Glenn Powell, love the guy.
So good. Love that guy. He can do no wrong.
When Glenn Powell wakes up that next morning and struts outside in a white, a tight white t-shirt.
They know what they're doing.
Slipping on a cowboy hat. My favorite theory of, so they cut out a kiss from the end of the movie. There was originally a kiss at the end.
Yeah. Right. At the airport. Yeah.
And the theory I heard of, someone said, like, why that doesn't happen. Oh, it's because Glenn Powell fucked Maura Tierney then.
That's what I heard too.
That would be so sick.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So, oh yeah, Alex, go ahead.
No, no, I was going to say, like, it's just, it's, they do such a good job with Glenn Powell's, like, I think the misdirect with him was actually pretty, like, you know, it was fine. We're finally done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I totally agree.
A douchebag. Yeah. It's all right.
It works. I think they did the smart thing. Not only does it work as a misdirect, but of the sense of, like, we don't hang out with the ragtag group like we did in the first one. Yeah. And I think keeping that team away from us made us want to hang out with them and not sit there and be like, oh, well, that's kind of like this character from the first one. They're kind of like this character from the first one.
Yeah.
So instead of comparing, you just wanted to see more of them immediately. So you immediately wanted them and not their archetype.
Yeah. But, well done.
Just another one that I really
want to
see.
Is it possible to make another one? Is the big question
right now.
But how do you like Twisters?
You would make the E a three, E a I guess. Three,
yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And it would just be Twister, but like three or.
How do you do
two twists?
Like, this movie uses the same format as the first one, so they don't do anything different. Because I don't know if you can. We just want to see tornadoes.
Twisters three, Tokyo Twist.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm a densely populated city full of tornado. I'm in.
Yep.
I'm so in. That's all they have to do is put tornadoes in a different.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, this was like, this might have been the best summer movie.
It's just a good summer blockbuster. Like, you know, get some popcorn, throw on some country.
100%.
Like, again, a beer and some popcorn, I'm having an all right night.
Like, I hated City Folk by the end of this.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I got to move.
100%. Out of here.
Suburbs ain't enough.
Don't understand it. Don't understand the culture of the... I was going to say Down Under. That is not correct. All right.
I think we've
got to the end of this thing. We are only 11 minutes over, which is better than I expected.
How could we possibly be derailed?
I don't know. Could you tell us what's coming out soon?
I can. If you really love Ronald Reagan, this weekend is Reagan.
You know that Scott Stapp plays Frank Sinatra in that movie?
Yeah. What? Hold me now. Who directed this? I don't know.
The director of the live action Bratz movie.
Ooh, I'm in. Okay.
This isn't about the Australian breakdancer, right?
Oh, that's Ray Gunn.
Yeah, that's Ray Gunn. Yeah.
You're thinking of Ray Gunn. This is Reagan. There's also Afraid, which looks like a lot of fun. With John Cho, the evil house, evil smart house.
Yeah, that does look good. Yeah.
There's that. Is it Spare Room? What's the Brandy and Catherine Hunter movie?
Oh, The Front Room. That's like very soon too.
Yeah,
see that. Y2K, is that soon?
Nah, it's the end of the year. But this week we get Afraid and Reagan in 1992, which has to be Ray Liotta's last movie. He's been dead for, I feel like, 45 years, and he still has movies. Then the 6th of September we get Beetlejuice, Just Saying It Once, and The Front Room. Yep. And Speak No Evil the week after that. My old ass, that Aubrey Plaza movie where she plays the older version of herself, which looks pretty good. That Dave Bautista movie, The Killer's Game, which shockingly did not come out like at the end of August. That feels like such a late August movie. And we get that Transformers cartoon.
Yeah.
September's got that stuff.
I need to watch My Spy 2 on Amazon.
I was about to say, we haven't watched My Spy 2 yet, and it's been out for like a month.
Yeah.
All right, maybe we'll watch that collectively, and we'll start next cast with that.
I like that idea. I like that idea. Yeah. But after you watch Thelma, Alex.
Yes. Yeah. I will.
Yeah. Once again, most importantly,
watch Thelma.
But yeah, we've got a little bit in September, so we may actually have a podcast in September.
Yeah, woo! we should aim for end of September, or at the very least, like the first week of October. But there's enough coming out. We could talk about The Crow a little bit if we want to. We didn't really get to it this time, so we'll get there next time. And we'll all have seen Strange Darling by then. Anyway, why don't you take us out, Tiggs? Okay, I will. You can find us on the web at moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find us. No, you can't find us on Twitter. Well, you probably could, but you can find Russ on everything. It's Russ Incredible. You can find Peter on Letterboxd as Peter or Petey, I think. You can find me on Letterboxd and Strava, because I still talk about that, as Johnny Tiggs. Alex, do you have Letterboxd yet?
I downloaded the app. I don't have an account, so I had to have Peter. I was looking up the wrong Peter on there.
Yes, someone has the username Peter Pete Petey.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been taking that Peter is like, I was like, wow, he hasn't watched anything for a while.
That's really funny.
Little did I, and then he showed me the real account.
Well, once you get an account, let us know. We could say it here. Sure. Thank you all for listening. And thanks for hanging out, talking movies, and we will see you all next time on the Movie Podcast.